in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, editor-in-chief and founder of Technocracy News and Trends. And I want to start out today by saying that when leadership of our nations lose their mind, the people suffer greatly. This is true in all sorts of different ways, but the stories today really underscore how this is true. And the first story in the case of England is titled, Farms Are Climate Enemies and Must Be Radically Transformed. This is an amazing story showing the utter lack of understanding by the leadership of this country what is really going on with the environment and with society in general. The article starts out and says, the true cost of cheap, unhealthy food is a spiraling public health crisis and environmental destruction, according to a high-level commission. It said the UK's food and farming system must be radically transformed and become sustainable within 10 years. The commission's report, which was welcomed by the Environment Secretary, Michael Gove, concluded that farmers must be enabled to shift from intensive farming to more organic and wildlife-friendly production, raising livestock on grass and growing more nuts and pulses, that's beans and lentils. It also said a national nature service should be created to give opportunities for young people to work in the countryside and, for example, tackle the climate crisis by planting trees or restoring peatlands. The report said, our own health and the health of the land are inextricably intertwined, but in the last 70 years, this relationship has been broken. It continues, time is running out. The actions that we take in the next 10 years are critical to recover and regenerate nature and to restore health and well-being to both people and planet, says the commission. The commission said most farmers thought they could make big changes in 5 to 10 years if they got the right backing. Farmers are extraordinarily adaptable, said Sue Pritchard, director of the RSA Commission and an organic farmer in Wales. We have to live with change every single day of our lives. We're really keen that farmers feel that they're in the driver's seat and that they can be a force of change. At the moment, a lot of farmers feel beleaguered and that they have become the bad guys. But without sustainable, secure, and safe farming in the UK, we will not survive. So the bottom line of this whole train of thought is that food is too cheap because farming is too intensive. In other words, the level of crop production is too high, resulting in cheap food, which is destroying the environment. The answer? Let's have expensive food. Let's raise the price of food by making it more difficult for intensive farming to take place. This is absolutely anti-human and insane. And yet, it will cause millions of dollars to be invested in schemes that have no payback whatsoever and that indeed will be counterproductive to the objective of feeding their own country. Now, this ideology is spreading around the world. It's not just the United Kingdom, but this is a good example of the outcome of sustainable development dogma. This thing has gone crazy. These people are not thinking straight. The second story is almost as head-scratching as the first. San Diego, which claims to be a global city and one of the most progressive cities on the planet, the city council in San Diego has ruled that guns must be locked up and stowed away at home. That is, your home. All across the city, they figure this will cut down on the number of accidental shootings, of which is almost minuscule anyway, but that's their excuse. We know that all of California is rabidly anti-gun, but in this case, San Diego has completely ignored the Constitution of the United States and the Second Amendment. You can own a gun, but you can't effectively use it because we want you to have it locked up and stowed away at home so that it can't be accidentally accessed and discharged. Well, when a burglar breaks into somebody's home, the homeowner will have to ask him to wait while he retrieves his stowed away and locked firearm. So I'll be right back, sir. If you can just hold off on robbing my house for another 5 minutes, I'll go and retrieve my gun. San Diego is joined by other cities that have done the same thing, namely Seattle, which is definitely one of the most progressive cities in the world, and New York, which is beyond progressive. New York is now post-postmodern and post-progressive. They've completely lost it. Surprisingly, Los Angeles hasn't passed such an ordinance yet, but they probably will. So criminals, rejoice. One safe zone for you to go to is San Diego. At least you'll have an advantage by having a head start on pulling your gun on a homeowner that was conned into storing his gun somewhere else in the house where he can't really get his hands on it. The article states, the San Diego City Council Monday tentatively approved an ordinance that would require gun owners to store guns in a locked container or disable them with the trigger lock when not in use or being worn on their person. City Attorney Mara Elliott proposed the ordinance last month with the intention of reducing accidental shootings, children's access to guns, and suicides. According to Elliott, 46% of gun owners in the U.S. who have children do not secure their guns, and 73% of youngsters aged 9 and under know where their parents keep their guns. Since 2002, the state has mandated that all guns sold in California have an accompanying trigger lock approved by the State Department of Justice Bureau of Firearms. Elliott said the ordinance is a common-sense approach to building on current state requirements. Well, the state indeed is cracking down on guns and gun ownership. It just became a requirement that all purchases of ammunition must be accompanied by a background check. So you can't just walk into a store and say, I'll take a box of .22 caliber cartridges. They'll say, well, you have to wait for a background check. But no problem, you can own a gun, but you have no rights to have easy access to it anymore. The last story today is absolutely incredulous. I hate to pick on California, but because I was born and raised in California, I suppose I have the right to pick on it. I don't live there now, by the way. I left several years ago. Most of my friends that remain there are trying to get out right now. Somehow. It's not easy to leave your lifelong home and move to another state. And there's no guarantee that any other state will not become like California the way things are going across the country. An article has been released by The Atlantic, an extremely liberal progressive publication that is completely bought into the climate change mantra. Their headline says, California's wildfires are 500% larger due to climate change. 500% larger due to climate change. Let that sink in. We know that California has had some very, very large forest fires in the last few years. But now they're making the claim that they are, in fact, 500% larger than previous forest fires, say from 40 years ago. But what's the reason? Climate change. This article says, on a hot July evening last year, a rancher tried to use a hammer and stake to plug a wasp nest. The hammer slipped, a spark flew, and the patch of dry grass ignited, according to the Los Angeles Times. Within minutes, the brush fire fed on bone-dry conditions and became too big to control. It soon merged with another blaze and became the Mendocino Complex Fire, the largest wildfire in California's history. It burned almost 500,000 acres, or roughly 720 square miles, before it was finally extinguished 4 months later. It killed one firefighter and injured four. Californians may feel like they're enduring an epidemic of fire. The past decade has seen half the state's 10 largest wildfires and 7 of its 10 most destructive fires, including last year's Camp Fire, the state's deadliest wildfire ever. A new study published this week in the journal Earth's Future finds that the state's fire outbreak is real and that it's being driven by climate change. Since 1972, California's annual burned area has increased more than fivefold, a trend clearly attributable to warming climate, according to the paper. Well, I will suggest this is Complete nonsense, not based in fact whatsoever. The truth of the matter, and having lived there for many years, I can attest to this, the truth of the matter is that the eco-movement, those bordering on eco-terrorism, have completely shut down forest management in California for decades. And guess what? It started in the early 1970s. The logging industry was completely destroyed thanks to the spotted owl, which the claim was made that the spotted owl could only survive an old-growth redwood in Northern California. Lo and behold, years later, the spotted owl was found thriving in other forests that were not old-growth redwood trees. Nobody even said, oops, we made a mistake. But people in many towns in the wooded areas of Northern California lost their livelihood, their homes, their families. Areas were completely decimated because the logging industry was shut down. Regulations and permits were put in place so that people couldn't clear the forest. They couldn't take care of it. They couldn't harvest trees. They couldn't clear out the undergrowth. Oh, had to leave it all natural, they said. And then on top of that, starting several years ago, you had the beginning of spraying activities over the surface of California with chemicals that included high-intensity flammable metals. These spraying activities left a mist of metals on the top of the trees all throughout California, creating essentially a match head. And so the first thing that happens in some dense forest, when a forest fire starts, it immediately turns into a crown fire, where the fire travels in the top of the trees rather than at the bottom, spreading the fire much faster than it would otherwise have spread and making it virtually impossible to put out with ground forces fighting from the bottom of the fire. The people that write reports like this that are featured in The Atlantic have no on-the-ground experience whatsoever. My guess is that most of them have never seen California, probably will never visit there. And yet they make sweeping statements like this, claiming that the real problem behind all of California's misery is climate change. And the only way we can fix that is to fix climate change. After all, don't do anything to the forest. Don't try and clean the forest up. Make it less flammable. But no, let's go fight climate change. Let's shut down industries. Let's cause people to spend extra money on carbon mitigation. Let's get cars off the road. Make people ride bicycles. All of this is really off the chart. But The Atlantic magazine, with this article, is going to influence a lot of people, especially in California. The progressives in Sacramento who run the state will use this as ammunition to further their own climate change mitigation plans. Heaven help California. It was a lovely state, probably one of the most beautiful areas in the entire United States for many years. And it still is physically beautiful in many areas that aren't burned anyway. But the insanity of leadership has led to absolute corruption of the state. People routinely ask me, what can we do to push back against stuff like this? Or is there any way to push back on stuff like this? And I say, yes, there is. But it requires people like you and me to stand up and say, no, this is crazy. This is wrong. This completely ignores the clear facts of history and the clear facts of science. And unless we stand up and say no, who will? Somebody has to challenge these people. The battle starts in the mind, nowhere else. And all of the propaganda that's coming out on global warming, agriculture, forest fires, city congestion, smart cities, all of this propaganda that's coming out needs to be challenged intellectually before it's challenged any other way. Somebody needs to stand up and say, it's wrong. Wrong-headed, wrong-thinking, not based in fact, not scientific, and in many cases, flat-out anti-human. I hope that Americans who understand what we're talking about here will receive some courage from this and start challenging people who are spouting all of these various plans and programs that are going to end up virtually destroying our nation if they're not stopped. They have to change their mind first. I encourage you to head over to Amazon, check out a copy of my book, Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order. If you're still scratching your head over any of this, wondering how did this happen? Well, I connect the dots for you in my most recent book. And it has been a hard road to world order. The worst part is it's not over yet. We can make a difference, but only if we understand who it is we're fighting and why. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. See you next time.